Thank you for joining us for another great message from The Door. Going into part 3 of our series, Relationships, Andrew Chalmers gives a powerful message on conflict in relationships.
Amen. Awesome. So the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about relationships, and this is the third night of a series that we're going to be doing basically through the month of February and through the month of March. And the first week, in case you guys weren't here, we talked about basically the beginning of all healthy relationships starts with having a healthy and a vibrant relationship with God. That our vertical relationship with God, when that is going really well and when we're connected to the Father, then all of our horizontal relationships are going to be blessed and vibrant and thriving. And so in order for us to have healthy relationships, we've got to keep the main thing. We have to always keep our greatest priority as far as relationships as our relationship with God himself, that knowing God would be our greatest priority. Even if you're married, your greatest priority is knowing God more and loving him more and seeking him more. Because the more that you seek God and the more that you're connected to him, the healthier your relationship with your spouse is going to be. The better your relationship with your kids are going to be. The better your relationship with your friends are going to be. Everything is going to expand and grow from there. And one of the things that I talked about from the very beginning was just simply this. And in the book of Genesis, in chapter 1, you see that God creates everything in the first 6 days. And then on the seventh day, you know, he rests. And in the first 6 days, everything he created, he said that it was, okay? And then chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Genesis, you sort of take a step back and we get to look at the creation story from just a different perspective, and we see a different angle of what happened. And as you read chapters 2 and 3, you see really a closer, more micro view of the creation of man. And so chapters 1 is like a macro. It's this big view of what happened all in just one chapter. And then chapters 2 and 3, you sort of zoom in and you see what happened closely with the creation of man. And what we find out is that actually God, when he created man, he ends up saying that it was not good. It's the first time that God says that something wasn't good. And the first thing that God says isn't good was the fact that man was alone, that he was isolated. And what's astounding is that God and man in that place lived in perfect communion together. And so Adam, when he was created, he had perfect relationship with God. There was nothing hindering him. He was in the garden. He was with God. It was like the perfect place. It was like heaven on earth. And yet God said it still wasn't good enough. Why? Because even though Adam had that vertical relationship with the Father and it was completely unblemished and it was a perfect relationship, God realized that Adam was created for community, that Adam was created to have relationship with others that were like him. And so what did he do? He created Eve. And then it was good. And then they lived in harmony and loved one another until the fall of man. And it was just this incredible bliss. And that's what they were created for. They were created for community. And so tonight we're going to continue to be talking about relationship. Last week, Brian shared an awesome message. Who was here last week? Raise your hand. Give him a woot woot if you were here. Awesome. And Brian shared a message about godly friendships and having important friendships. And one of the things that I appreciate what Brian was talking about are a lot of the barriers that actually keep us from having healthy friendships. And one of the big things that Brian pointed out last week was that being present matters. Being present in your relationships matters. That we're not just like zoning out in a relational sense, but that we're pressing into our relationship with others. And tonight, I'm sort of building off some of the things that we've talked about the last 2 weeks, and we're going to be talking about handling conflict. So conflict, it sounds negative, but this is going to be a positive message. This isn't going to be a negative message, but we are going to be talking about conflict. And so raise your hand in the room if you've ever dealt with conflict. Okay. Did anyone not raise their hand? Because I want to shake your hand. Awesome. Amazing. You're perfect. Good. Good to hear. So tonight we're going to be talking about handling conflict. And it's a great thing. And this is going to be an exciting message. So I just want to go to the scripture. The opening scripture is out of Proverbs chapter 14:4. It says, without oxen, a stable stays clean, but you need a strong ox for a large harvest. Can you get the background image out of the way so that way they can read it a little bit easier, Adam? Thank you so much. Let's give Adam a hand for helping us tonight. Okay, so now you read the scripture and you're like, what does this have to do with relationship and what does this have to do with conflict, right? Just confess it. Just admit it. You look at it, you're like, what does this have to do? Okay, so I love this verse because it really has a lot of life applications. If you're in business, it's got a great application. If you're in ministry, it's got a great application, obviously, with the word harvest at the end. But tonight, we're actually talking about relationships, and that this is the third week, and we're talking about conflict. And so it says, without oxen, a stable stays clean, but you need a strong ox for a large harvest. In other words, have you guys ever been in a barn? Anyone ever been in a barn? Okay, you know you got to go in and you got to clean that thing out daily, right? You got to clean out daily. You got to clean all the poop everywhere. Sometimes the horses or whatever's in the barn, they'll knock stuff over. They'll trash stuff. They'll gnaw at things. There'll be wood everywhere. There'll be hay everywhere. Have you guys ever seen that just in a barn? It's just all messed up. You got to go in there and you got to clean it up. And guess what happens? The next day, you got to go back again. Same thing again. Clean it up and clean it up and clean it up and clean it up again. But there is a benefit to having them in your stable because you actually need those animals in order to have a large harvest. So I want to show you guys sort of my version of Proverbs 14:4 in context of relationships. So let's go and let's look at that. This is not the Bible. This is just something I wrote. Proverbs 14:4, this is a restated version of it in context of relationships. Without authentic relationships, you can avoid conflict. But you need authentic relationships in life to step into all that God has called you to. And so the verse before, let's look at that verse again, Proverbs 14:4. Without oxen, a stable will stay clean. You're not gonna have any messes, right? Now let's look at the parallel right now with relationships. Without an authentic relationship, you can avoid conflict pretty easily. So in the same way that if you don't have any oxen, you're not going to have any messes to clean up inside of the stable. In the same way, in my life and in your life, if you don't have authentic relationships with others, you can actually easily avoid conflict with people and keep them at a healthy, or not healthy, but keep them at a distance from you. And as long as you can keep people at a distance from you, you can actually avoid the messes. But just like a farmer needs an ox in order to have a great harvest, you, in order to step into your destiny, need authentic relationships that can sometimes be messy. For you to step into your destiny, step into the great harvest that God has for you, whatever that looks like, you've got to have people close to you, and you've got to have authentic relationships. Why? God created you to be in community. You were created to be in relationship with people. Authentic relationship. But here's one of the things. In order for us to be an authentic relationship, it requires us to sometimes get messy. So many of us, what we do is we keep everyone at arm's length. And we say, you know what? I'm just keeping my stable clean. I just don't like messes. And because there's no mess, because there's no conflict, we actually think that everything's okay. But in reality, we're never going to step into the great harvest. We're never going to step into our destinies that God has for us unless we actually say, you know what? A mess is okay. You know what? Conflict is okay, and I'm willing to deal with it. You can come closer, and you can come into my life. This is terrifying for some people, including myself. In fact, this message is as much for me as for anyone else in this room. This is something for all of us. To really listen to and to allow God to illuminate some things in our life. With any truly healthy relationship, there will always be a healthy amount of conflict and tension. When Ellen and I went through marriage counseling, we went through with Pastor Bud at Evangel Temple. He's incredible, awesome marriage counselor. If you are planning on getting married one day, you should go to Pastor Bud. He's really funny. But one of the things that he said is that he said, you're going to have conflict. And he said, if you're not having conflict, I'd actually be more concerned if there was no conflict. Because usually, he says, dead marriages have no conflict. Dead marriages are totally dull and numb to each other. And they're just so sick of one another that they just avoid each other at all costs. And they're at such a great distance that conflict isn't even possible anymore. And so he actually said it's healthy to have some conflict in your marriage. That's actually a good thing. It shows, it's like a litmus test. Is there life in your marriage? Is there life in your relationship? Conflict is actually a good thing, right? So say that. Conflict is a good thing. I don't feel like you guys believe what you just said. Conflict is a good thing. So why is there tension? Why is there conflict? Because we are not clones. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not a clone. We are all created. We are all created as unique individuals. Look at your neighbor. Say, you're unique. So we're not clones. We're all unique, and everybody in this room, we all have varying opinions, experiences. We all have varying passions and perspective. And actually, this is something that's really powerful. And this is why, like in the series, it's called From Me to We. The reason it's called Me to We is because we're coming from an individualistic perspective, that it's all about me, myself, and I, to it's about we, it's about community, and it's about being in relationship. When I come out of an individualistic mindset to a communal mindset, and I begin to consider others as well as a major part of my life, and I bring them into my life, what's incredible is I actually bring their perspectives, their advice, their experience into my life, and that's actually helpful. If you talk to people who work for like Fortune 500 businesses, or people if you've ever read any books about building successful businesses, or especially books on leadership, a lot of prominent leaders, when they're writing about these, one thing that I've read over and over and over again is to always bring people on your board of directors, on your sales team, on whatever it is. If you're running a corporation, bring people on board who disagree with you. Why? Because that healthy tension will help you go further and higher. It's better. And so businesses all across America, you'll see that they're diversifying, and they're not. One thing that's pretty extraordinary that's happening right now in our generation is they're actually hiring people that are much younger, because they want the perspective of the millennials for sales, to drive sales. They have to have that. And so they're diversifying. Whereas it used to be the top tier people who were running the corporations were all gray headed and 65 and up. You know what I'm saying? Now they're bringing people into the room at least. Why? Because they value that different perspective. It's important that we're different, right? It's important that we're not all the same. But us not all being the same means that we're going to have conflict, because sometimes my perspective differs from yours, right? There is so much more to offer when we begin to come together in authentic relationship and community, but the price for true intimacy is always the risk of conflict. I'm going to say that again. The price of true intimacy is that you're risking stepping into conflict. If you're not stepping into authentic relationship or true intimacy with people, you're honestly not really taking risk relationally. There's a very small possibility of you getting into conflict with them because they're so far from you. But when you start bringing people close into intimacy, and they start really seeing what you're like and who you are and what your opinions are and how you feel about this and how you feel about that, what happens? You start to disagree. You start to fight about things. There starts to become conflict. And some people say, well, that's a bad thing. My relationship's going downhill. You know, when we first started dating, it's just like everything was great. And now we just fight. You know, we're always fighting about this, or we're always fighting about that. And the reality is that when you first started dating, you didn't know each other from Adam. Like, you had no idea who that person was. And now you're discovering that they're a different person than you, and they have different values, and they think differently than you. And that creates conflict, and that's a good thing. Tell your neighbor again, conflict is a good thing. I want to get some volunteers. I want to have 10 volunteers, and I want to have you guys come forward. So raise your hand if you want to be my volunteer. All right, 1, 2, 3. No, Landon, you got to stay right there. 1, 2. All right. Come on, I need 10 volunteers. Come on up, come on up. I need 10. So a lot of you guys who don't want to get up, you just need to go ahead and get on up. Come on. You guys stand right here in the middle. All right. All right, so I got 4, 5, 6. All right, come on, Tech. All right, come on. Give them a hand. If they came up, come on. Landon got up here. All right, so here's what I want you guys to do. I want you guys to all get as close together in a circle in the middle, but I want you all to face different directions, okay? So everybody face different directions, but get really close. Do not touch. Don't touch, but get pretty close. Don't touch. Oh, y'all are touching. So make kind of like a circle, a little bubble. Face different directions. Some face inward, some face outward, okay? Turn around. There you go. Okay. All right, Chris, turn around. There you go. All right. So right now, this represents closeness in relationship. They're pretty close, right? So now this group of people, this community right here is pretty close. Now I want to show you what happens when they start to do life and live together and love one another and do community, all right? So here's what I want you guys to do. I want you to slowly just begin to inch forward whichever direction you're facing, okay? So this is, now they're beginning their journey of community. Ready, set, go. There you go. All right, wow, good job. Landon's just going off into the abyss. All right, you guys can stop. All right, one thing I want to point out about what was just happening is they were all pretty close when you guys first started getting into the group. You guys were pretty close at that point, but then something happened when they began to move together, sort of in different directions. What happened is simply there was friction. Did you guys see friction happening? People bumping into each other. People running into each other, people grazing one another. And that right there, what I want to call that is just simply that was friction happening. And that was as a result of simply them being so close to one another that when they started moving, they started to have friction, right? So now what I want you guys to do is I want you guys to spread out all across the room. Just all of you guys, just go anywhere in the room, face any direction that you want. And some of you guys can stay up here. All right, and so now, here's what I want you to do. Once again, you probably don't want to face a wall because you're going to be walking forward. So, all right, so now here's what I want you to do. I want you to simply inch yourself forward, just like we just did. Move yourself very slowly forward. Now I want you guys to watch them. All right, stop. Okay, stop. All right, there was only one bit of friction in the back of the room. There was only one, and it was Chris, and it was Landon. All right, let's give them a hand. Come on, you guys can come sit down. Thank you, guys. So that was just a simple illustration, and here's what I want to just point out. When you get close to people, there's going to be friction. But when you live your life at such a distance from everyone around you, what happens is there's very little friction. The first example showed that in close, tight-knit community, there can be a lot of conflict. There can be a lot of friction. The second example showed us what, honestly, most of the world is like. People at a vast distance from one another, and there's very little conflict. In fact, the fact that even there was one conflict that happened just in that short scenario was pretty kind of surprising that there was even that. But it's just going to be very, very rare that people at such a big distance from one another are ever going to come in close enough to each other where there actually begins to be conflict. And people, all of us, are so scared of conflict that we live our lives at a huge distance from everyone around us because we're scared that if we get too close, there might be some tension. There might be some friction. But here's the reality. In our attempt to avoid the friction, we actually avoid the things that can only come through closeness and proximity. Come here, Wes. Come close. Give me a hug.
Thank you. All right, go sit down.
Oh, no, no, no. Not only is there friction sometimes when we get close, but also there can be times where, like, we can show love to one another. But, like, for me and Wesley, in order for us to, like, give each other a hug or to shake a hand or pound it or, you know, whatever, high five, in order for us to do that, we actually have to get close enough to one another in order to share that bond. And so when we live our lives at a huge distance from everyone around us, not only are we avoiding conflict, which seems good, you look at your life, hey, there's no conflict. There's no conflict. I'm great with everybody. Like, I'm just, everyone's my friend. There's no conflict. Everyone likes me. I like everyone. You know, and that's how your life looks, okay? But the reality is you're also missing out on the key nutrients that you need from closeness and from authentic relationship where you're close. How many of you guys need a hug every now and then? Come on. You guys see the example that I'm putting out here? Let's look at the key ingredients that you get from authentic relationships. One, when you have an authentic relationship with people, in other words, when you get close to people, you can actually truly be encouraged. It's not fake. It's not a plastic thing. It's not some, like, you know, vague thing that someone gives you. When someone really knows who you are and what you're passionate about, if they encourage you, they're going to tell you something very specific about you that they enjoy and that they appreciate. And it feels so much greater than a blanket statement that someone gives to you. You know what I'm saying? Like me saying, Adam, great job, you know, in front of you guys. Let's give Adam a hand for doing AV. You know, that's kind of a blanket type thing. And anyone can do that from great distance. But for me and Adam to get together and for me to really tell Adam what I really appreciate and enjoy about him, that requires closeness, vulnerability, but it brings great encouragement to him. You guys see the difference? Not only encouragement, but you can receive accountability. How many of you guys know you need accountability in your life? When you're authentic, when I'm close to you and you're close to me, you can actually see what's in my eyes. You can actually see what's going on inside of me. You can actually see what's going on. And if you get close enough to people, then they're actually able to hold you accountable. This is terrifying to people. People don't want to be held accountable. People don't want to be called out for things that may cause them harm, okay? But the reality is this is a key ingredient. It's kind of like the broccoli of relationships that everybody needs to get some. And it's so good for you. It'll bring nutrient and nourishment to your life. Not only accountability, but advice. If you have an authentic, close relationship with someone, they can actually give you sound advice because they actually know what's going on inside of you and what's going on inside in your life. Not only that, but you can have connection and closeness to others. If you keep everyone at a distance from you in your life, you don't ever get to enjoy what it really is like to be connected and close to friends, to a guy or a group of guys or a girl or a group of girls that could be like your best friends and you really share like your struggles and your joy of life. If you're keeping everyone at a huge distance, you're missing out on this beautiful reality of authentic relationship. You're missing out on real connection and closeness to people. You're missing out on joy. There's a level of joy that you can only get from having authentic relationship with people. This is huge. When you step into authentic relationship, when you stop being so far and you really get close, guess what? They're going to know who you really are. And that's scary. Many people are terrified that people would know who they really are. And many people, typically middle school, high school, begin to put on a facade and a mask of who they pretend to be. And everyone loves the mask, but they're scared that if they take that off and people really saw who they really are, they're scared that they would be rejected. And so they avoid closeness to people and they stay at a distance because they don't want to be rejected. But here's the beautiful thing about authentic relationship. When you come into authentic relationship, you get close. They say, is that a mask? Is that a mask you're wearing? Why are you wearing that? And you're like, should I take it off? And you're like, dude, take it off. Let me see. And you take that mask off and they say, wow, That's so much better than that mask. You look silly with that mask on. You're like, wait, you really like me? And they're like, yeah, that's who you really are. I like that way better than who you're pretending to be. And then finally, you get to know people love you for who you really are. You need that. You actually need that. And I feel like this is one of the things that when God created Adam and he said it wasn't good in the garden, God realized that Adam needed someone in his life who wasn't God, someone like him who would say, you know what, Adam, I know everything about you and I love you still. I know how quirky you are. I know how funny you are. I know how silly you are. I know how stupid you can be, but I still love you. And that's what you need in your life, every one of us. You need people in your life who say, you know what, I know who you really are and I still like you. And I still want to be around you. This is a key nutrient. This is something you need for your soul. Also, another key nutrient gained from authentic relationship is conflict. Conflict is healthy. Conflict puts you in check. Conflict challenges you. Conflict grows you. When you have conflict with someone, it requires you to become humble, hopefully. It gives you the choice to become humble. It gives you the choice to become forgiving. It gives you the choice to become more like Christ. In fact, the more conflict you begin to face as a result of getting close to people, like if you begin to get in an actual like Acts chapter 2 verse 42 or Acts chapter 4, like early church style of communal living and loving people and being in family, when you start doing that, a lot of conflict is going to come. But what's beautiful about that is that conflict is going to make you more like Christ. And the closer you are with people and the more conflict you have, it gives you a greater possibility of actually becoming more like Jesus than if you were at a big distance. Like when everybody was at a big distance from one another, they have less potential of becoming more Christ-like than people who are very close to one another. Why? Because actually that tension, it's one man sharpening another. It sharpens you. It sharpens you. It sharpens you. It sharpens you. Every day it sharpens you. It's hard sometimes. You don't like it. You don't want any more conflict. It's so much easier when you just kept everybody at a distance, but now you're close and now you got to deal with this and people are holding you accountable and you don't like this and you don't like that. But guess what? It's sharpening you. And as you get sharper and sharper and sharper, it's making you more and more into the image of Christ. How many of you guys want to look more like Jesus? I want to look more like Jesus. And so it requires us to get out of what's comfortable and into what's uncomfortable, and that's authentic relationship. In light of this truth, we're faced with two choices through our lives. One, so as we look at that, you're faced with a choice right now. I just pointed something out about your life, okay? I just exposed something in the room, and everyone in the room has to deal with what I just said, okay? And it just challenged you. And I'm not doing that to be mean, but I just feel like it's just challenging. It's on the table and you got to look at it. Okay, what am I doing with my life? Like, where am I really at relationally? Like, do I have any authentic relationships? And the two options that you have tonight is one, you can remain in relational obscurity and isolation. But I want to point out what relational obscurity and isolation can look like. Because some people would justify themselves and say, no, I'm not in relational obscurity and isolation. But I want to point this out just to create some clarity. Some people express this by simply staying away from people and being alone. So obviously, relational obscurity and isolation can look like physically staying away from people all the time, never being around people, sort of like being a hermit, never coming out, never hanging out with a lot of friends, just sort of being alone. Obviously, that's one way that it can look. But other people express this by staying constantly around others, but they avoid any type of deeper level of interaction and intimacy. Some people who are living in relational obscurity and isolation, you never see them. They rarely come around. They're very isolated. But honestly, the second example I would say is extremely prominent in the church. And the second example are people who are at every church activity, every group. They do every single thing. They're always there. They're always around people, but there's no deep level of intimacy. No one's allowed in. And so while it looks like they have a bunch of friends and a bunch of people and a lot of activity, the reality is that in spite of all that activity, it's fake And truly in their heart, and truly if you looked at the reality of what's going on, they are living in relational obscurity and isolation. You guys see that? That you can be surrounded by people 24/7 and yet you're living in relational obscurity because you're not actually diving in deep with anyone. This is how people can easily be deceived into thinking that they're living in community. It's because you're constantly surrounded by people. But if everything is surface level, if no one is holding you accountable, if nobody knows what's really going on in your life, then I would challenge you that you're living in relational obscurity. You just happen to be surrounded by lots of people. The other choice that you have, and this is the choice we are all going to make tonight, and I believe that. I believe that everyone's going to make that choice. The choice that we're going to make tonight is just simply this. We're going to engage with others in authentic relationships. This can look very different for each person, but the one thing this requires of a person is it requires them to step out of their comfort zone and into the unknown realm of deep relationship with others. Engaging with others in authentic relationships looks different for me than it does for Wesley, than it does for Mike. It doesn't always look the same. We all have different personality types. We're all created differently. Amen? That's a good thing. But authentic relationship for everyone in this room may look a little bit different. There may be people in this room who authentic relationship might be look like for you, you being in the context of a group of guys where you begin to be vulnerable with a group of men and you begin to share your life with them. For some people, that's terrifying and they don't want to be vulnerable with a bunch of guys, but the idea of maybe one, like close friend, opening up to them and really like sharing with them what's going on, that's doable. And so both are authentic community and authentic relationships, but you see the difference? For some people, you know, different levels of stepping out relationally are going to be, you'll have different extremes. You'll have different people who are willing to do different things. But just because it looks different doesn't mean that it's not authentic relationship, okay? So the way it looks for you may look different for me, and the way it looks for me may look different for you. But I'm inviting all of us to begin to step into some form of authentic relationship. And what does authentic relation look like? It simply looks like us getting close and letting others in, taking the mask off, letting people begin to see who we really are, and starting to share life with people in an open way where we put away our fear and we say, you know what, like I'm really, really, really gonna just let you see who I am and I'm gonna take a risk. And I think that's the number one ingredient. That's the key ingredient for everyone in the room. Are you willing to take a risk? Maybe you've been hurt before. Maybe you've been abandoned by a group of friends. Maybe like you've been rejected by someone that like a romantic relationship that you thought you're gonna marry this person or you thought this or you thought that, they rejected you. And ever since then, you've been closed off, you know, or whatever that looks like. Maybe for some people in the room, you've absolutely never had a close relationship your whole life because you've just always been scared of being rejected, okay? And I just believe that for very simply, all of us, God is challenging us to take a risk and to take a risk and to say, you know what? I'm going to begin to be vulnerable and open and step into true, authentic community with people in my life, okay? And it may be someone in this room, or it may be someone at your local church on Sunday morning. It may be someone at a Bible study you go to on Monday night or whatever, you know, that is. But I just believe that the Lord is calling us into this place. Amen? I want to look at just a couple of scriptures. I want to look at Matthew chapter 18. And while you guys are turning there, I just want to read you guys out of Matthew chapter 7. And I just want to read the golden rule. How many of you guys know what the golden rule is? Raise your hand. Everybody in the room should know what the golden rule is. How many does, if you don't know what the golden rule is, raise your hand if you never heard it. You don't know what it is. Okay, good. Well, I'm going to read it. Here's the golden rule. It's in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. You can say it Matthew 18, but I just want to read this. Do for others what you want them to do for you. This is the teaching of the law of Moses in a nutshell. That's what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, do for others what you want them to do for you. Now, one thing I just want to point out, this is a side note. Okay, so say, this is a side note. See, okay, this is a side note. Okay, so just real quick, I want to give you guys just a little bit of information. The golden rule, a lot of people, especially universalists, in other words, people who say there are many ways to one God, we all basically believe in the same God. There are people, especially like on college campuses or whatever, that one thing that people will point out is that a lot of the things that Jesus taught is what Buddha and Muhammad and others taught, that it's basically all the same teachings, just from different regions and places, pointing pretty much to the same God. But a lot of them, they will point to the golden rule, and they'll say, yeah, so Jesus, he taught the golden rule, and in many other religions, they taught the golden rule too. It's very clear. But here's the difference. You can go and you can do some research online, and you can read like golden rule, you know, all religions or whatever, you can find out about it. But essentially, in a lot of other, the major world religions, there is something similar to the golden rule in all of those other religions, but there's a very, very, very big difference. The major difference is that every other world religion teaches passivity with the golden rule. Basically, don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. That's essentially the essence. You can go read it. They pull that out of other scriptures from other religions. Essentially, they promote passivity. As long as someone's not doing something bad to you, don't do anything bad to them. Be kind, be good, be a good person. If they're not doing anything to harm you, don't harm them. And that's the essence of the teaching of the world. But Jesus, in the golden rule, he actually teaches something very different, and this is for all of our relationships. Instead of promoting passivity, which is the heart of Eastern religion, Buddhism, Taoism, all of those things, it promotes passivity and all kinds of things like that, which sounds good in its essence, but what's even better than passivity is what Jesus promotes here. He says, do unto others what you would have them do unto you. And that is a huge contrast. Jesus said, in relationships, do to others what you want them to do to you. And so as we look at that scripture, in order to step into authentic relationships with people, what are some things that you would want people to do for you in those authentic relationships? Would you want them to encourage you? Would you want them to love you and accept you even when you start to share with them like some faults you have and some things you're going through? Would you want that? You would want them to do that for you, right? What Jesus is teaching us in Matthew chapter 7 and with the golden rule is that relationally, we need to do for others what we want them to do for us, okay? And so tonight, as we all say yes, right? As we all say yes to authentic relationships, here's what I want to challenge you to do. Instead of waiting for the person across the table or the small group that you're a part of, instead of waiting for them to do what you want, okay, as you enter into closeness and authenticity with them, start doing for them what you want them to do for you. Start encouraging them. Start loving people. As they start to show you who they really are, start loving them unconditionally. Start forgiving them when they make mistakes or they hurt you. Try that. Sound good? Matthew chapter 18. This is so good. I'm reading out of a 1960s New Living Translation that I found, and I really like it. So that's what I'm reading out of, and that's why it's not going to be on the screen, because it's a little bit different. What time is it? All right, so we're gonna land right here. We're gonna look at verse 12, and this is simply what we're gonna look at is how do we handle conflict once it starts. Jesus is teaching the disciples. They came up and they said, "Who's gonna be greatest in the kingdom?" And he calls the kids over and he says, "Whoever comes like these little kids, that's who's gonna be the greatest in the kingdom." And then he begins to teach them some things, and this is what he teaches them, starting in verse 12. If a man has 100 sheep and one wanders away and is lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others and go out into the hills and search for the lost one? And if he finds it, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 others safe at home. Just so, it is not my Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. Verse 15, if a brother sins against you, go to him privately and confront him with his fault. So, tonight, we're saying yes to authentic relationships. We're saying yes to getting close to one another, right? Right? Half of you. Awesome. So half of us are saying yes to authentic relationships, and we're all saying yes, all of us, right? Okay. We're saying yes, and as we say yes, Jesus is teaching us something. He says, if a brother sins against you, go to him privately and confront him with his fault. Here's the tendency for all of us. We get close, someone hurts us, and we go to everyone else to confide in them about what our brother did to us because we just need to let that out. We need to work through this and I need to really seek some counsel on how I need to handle this situation. So I'm going to go talk to 12 other people about how so-and-so hurt me, and I'm going to tell them. And so what we do is we want to avoid the conflict. We know that in order for me to confront you about how you hurt me, that is going to create some conflict and some tension, right? There's going to be some friction when I come up to you and I say, bro, when you said that to me, that hurt my feelings. How many of you guys know that's friction, right? So what do? Because we don't like friction and we don't like any of that, we avoid it. And so one of the common ways of avoiding it in the body of Christ and just in the world in general is that we avoid that person, we avoid conflict, and we say, oh, this is good. I'm avoiding conflict. This feels great. And I'm going to go tell everybody else about how that person hurt me, but I'm going to avoid that person. But Jesus says, he said, if a brother hurts you or if he sins against you, go to him and tell him how he hurt you. This is a key. Guys, because tonight, if we all say yes to the call to authentic relationship, but we don't do it in the context of how Jesus taught us to live this thing out, it is going to be toxic, explosive, and dangerous. Because here's what begins to happen. When you begin to get close to people and they start to hurt you and you refuse to listen to what the Bible says and what Jesus teaches us, and instead of going to them directly, you start going to everyone else, you actually start promoting dissension and hatred for the person that hurt you. And it can destroy community, it can destroy relationship, and it will actually destroy the potential of you engaging in what God created you for, which is authentic relationship. It can bring toxic, just disgusting, this horrible reality into a community when you're not being vulnerable and honest with one another. And so we as a community, we have to begin to have the courage and have the commitment of our hearts to authentic relationship, that when someone hurts us, that when we start to get close, when they hurt us, not if, when they hurt us, that we will not only forgive them, but that we'll actually go to them and talk to them about that. That we wouldn't run from friction, but that we would say, you know what, this is going to be a good thing for me and for them. And I'm going to forgive them, but I want to walk with them through this. Does that make sense? But if not, it says, if he listens and confesses it, you have won back a brother. How many of you guys have ever had this experience with someone? I had an experience, and you know, I'm just gonna stop there. That was good enough. I had an experience about probably 5 years ago, and I was living in very close community. So I was living with about 12 guys, and so we were living in this like dorm setting, and my job was to basically make sure that they cleaned up their rooms and did all the things that they needed to do. And I had a neighbor that lived next to my room, and basically this guy flipped out on me one morning at like 5 o'clock in the morning or whatever, because my music, I was playing this quiet, like really, really quiet, like prayer music. And I just kept doing it every morning, but that's what I like to do when I'm like, you know, praying and stuff. Well, like he would hear it and he would wake up and be like, turn the music off. And he would like yell at me. And I'd be like, dude, you know, don't yell at me and whatever. So finally one morning, it's like the end of his straw. So he comes over, really bangs on the door, like really, really hard. He's like, turn the music off. And I was like, whoa, dude, you know, like, okay, you know, so I like turned the music off. And anyways, I was so angry that he would do that to me, like that he would yell at me and bang on my door, you know, early in the morning. I'm like praying, dude, can't you see that? You know, and so anyways, I had to speak that night, or I was doing ministry, something, I can't remember, but I had to do some form of ministry that night. And I go to the place where I was doing ministry, and I'm getting ready, and I'm like in pre-service, and the Holy Spirit says, you need to talk to him, and you need to reconcile that, okay? And I was like, I know, I'm going to do it, sure, I'm going to do it. He's like, no, I want you to text him right now. And I was like, text him right now. Like, I'm not going to text him right now. No, I'll talk to him later. I'll talk to him later. Come on, God, just let me talk to him later. The Holy Spirit said, no, text him right now. Before you get up there and you talk about whatever you're talking about, I want you to set this straight. You don't need to leave this undealt with. You need to deal with this. And I was like, okay, fine. So I remember I was just during the worship service, I just texted him. I said, bro, I need to talk to you when I get back. He said, okay. And so anyways, went through the service, did what I was supposed to do, and I was kind of like, I didn't want to go home. Why? Because I hate conflict. I grew up in a family where it's just like conflict wasn't a good thing. We didn't like conflict, you know, and I think that's most families. No one likes conflict, and so you avoid it at all costs. And now I'm going straight home, straight into conflict. So I'm like feeling anxiety. I'm like, how's this situation going to end up? And anyways, I get home and we have this really intense conversation. Okay? Really intense conversation. And this guy is like twice my size. He's like a big dude. You know, we're like heated conversation. You know what I mean? I don't know if you guys have ever had one of these, but we're like in it, you know? And it's just like, bro, I should be able to pray. I should be able to listen to music. You should not come banging on my door. You shouldn't even talk to me like that. You know, and he's like, well, blah, blah. And anyways, the guy, he starts talking to me. You know what he started to tell me? He said, bro, I feel like you're selfish. I feel like you only care about yourself. I feel like everything you do is just about you. And anyways, he starts telling me all this stuff. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, shut your mouth. Listen. And I was like, okay. And what I realized is everything he started telling me was true. Now, what he did to me was wrong, okay? I don't think he should have banged on my door that way. He could have been more polite and asked me nicely, you know? But he didn't. He banged on my door. He was really mean. And now, you know, I told him how that made me feel. I did Matthew 18. I'm confronting him. And now he's confronting me. And you know what? I realized that night. I realized, like, you know what, dude? You're right. Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for acting that way, you know, and being selfish. Like, you know, I'm sorry. And he said, bro, well, I'm sorry too. And you know what, like, that guy was just essentially just someone I maybe talked to casually every now and then. I lived right next to him, but we barely ever talked. And then I was only there for a couple more months after that. But the last few months, we actually became, like, somewhat friends. Like, we weren't, like, buddy-buddy, but suddenly our relationship went from a 0 to, like, a 4. Like overnight, because we had a conflict. And you guys ever had that experience? Anyone ever actually been in a fight with someone and you became friends? That happened to me in sixth grade. Me and this kid got in a fight in the bathroom. We beat each other up, and then we became like really good friends the rest of sixth grade or seventh grade. I can't remember which grade it was. But you know, sometimes you just gotta, you know, and work it out and then become friends. And I believe that God's calling us tonight to forgive. I believe that God is calling us tonight to confront. I believe that God's calling us to repent for any way. Like tonight, as I've been talking, if you realize that you've been avoiding relationships and trying to keep everyone at a distance because you're scared of conflict, we need to repent of that. We need to say, you know what, God, I'm going to change the way I think about relationships. I'm going to change the way I think about conflict, and I'm going to change the way that I live my life. I'm going to start to live differently. And not only that, you tonight, some of us, we need to look at ourselves and say, you know what? Have I been taking how others have been hurting me and telling everyone else except that person? And if you've been doing that, you need to confess it to the person that you've been spreading slander about and speaking about behind their back. You need to confess to them what you've been doing. And you need to apologize to everybody that you've been telling slanderous stuff about that person. You need to go and you need to make this right. Because what you've been doing is wrong, and you're promoting hatred towards a person. And it may seem petty, and it may seem indirect, and it may seem like it's not a big deal, but it is destructive and harmful. And we've got to set that right. And so tonight, even if as you're thinking, if you've been saying some things, even about whole groups of people, like this group of people or that group of people or whatever, sometimes we speak slanderous. Like, I hear so many conversations, especially in the group of context of pastors, of how people talk about other groups. Like, if you're around a bunch of Pentecostal preachers, they'll talk about the Baptist people. If you're around all the Baptist people, they'll talk about the Presbyterians or the Pentecostal people or whatever. There's always those other people that they essentially slander and put down to make themselves feel better. And I believe that this is wrong, and I believe that we need to repent of that, and I believe that we need to make amends with those people. Amen? And not only that, tonight, if there are people, like if I've hurt your feelings, if I've done something to wrong you, like this is me talking to you, anyone in the room, if I've hurt you in any way, I want you to come to me, and I want you to talk to me in love. And I want to hear from you, and I want us to talk that out, and I want us to deal with that. Why? Because we're going to come closer together if we deal with this. If you just leave, like if I've hurt you, or if someone else in the room has hurt you, or someone else outside the room has hurt you, if you just avoid them because you want to avoid the conflict, you're never going to get the joy of actually knowing that person. You're missing out. You're missing out, and we don't want to miss out. We want to engage with people. We want to love people. We want to have authentic relationship. And I want to land with Colossians chapter 3, and I'm going to continue reading in my 1960s Bible. It's a really good one. I wish I had more of these to just give out. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. You guys can go ahead and stand up. We're going to read this together. It's going to be on the screen in a different version. If you want, you could just play some soft like background music, maybe some like instrumental music as we close. Verse 12, since you have been chosen by God, who has given you this new kind of life, and because of his deep love and concern for you, you should practice tender-hearted mercy and kindness to others. Don't worry about making a good impression on them, but be ready to suffer quietly and patiently. Be gentle and ready to forgive. Guys, if you get close, be gentle and be ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. You know, when we engage in authentic relationship with people, it points us to the cross daily. It reminds us of our need to forgive people. Because we're not perfect, right? We all make mistakes. I make mistakes every day. Whether it's with Landon, my son, my wife, my friends. I mean, there's always, I don't do it right a lot. You know, there's a lot of times I let people down. And every time I do, it requires someone to look at the cross and say, you know what, God forgave me. And he died on the cross for me. Like, can I forgive Andrew? And every time someone hurts me and lets me down, guess what it does? It points me to the cross. And it points me to the question, you know what? I've been so freely forgiven. Can I forgive them? And that's what it looks like. Authentic relationship looks like us living out the cross. Verse 14, most of all, let love guide your life. For then the whole church will stay together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of heart, which comes from Christ, be always present in your heart and lives, for this is your responsibility and privilege as members of his body, and always be thankful. Remember what Christ taught, and let his words enrich your lives and make you wise teach them to each other and sing them out in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing to the Lord with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ and come with him into the presence of God the Father to give him your thanks. I'm going to have the ministry team come up to close. And then I'm just going to pray. I just want to pray for everybody. So, we're going to respond. So right now, I just want to ask you, who's willing to move forward and to step into authentic relationship with some people in their lives? Who wants to move into that? Raise your hand. Okay. Who's a little scared to do what I'm talking about tonight? Okay. My hand's up. And that, I think that's normal. You look at real relationship, and it looks scary. But I believe that God's challenging us to begin to get close and to come into authentic relationship. So if you're willing tonight to commit to that, I just want to pray a prayer with everybody. We're just going to pray that together, okay? So Father, we come to you tonight. And we commit ourselves, just pray this out loud, say, I commit myself to pursuing authentic relationship with godly people that you've put in my life. I choose to take a risk to be vulnerable and to forgive others when they hurt me. I commit to come to them if I have anything against them. I commit to love them whenever they show me who they really are. I commit to hold them accountable. I commit to encourage them. I commit to having conflict with them in a healthy way. Tonight I choose to begin a journey of authentic relationship. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you enjoyed this week's message. For more information about The Door and Take the City, please visit us at www.takethecity.com. Have a blessed week.